Ladies and gentlemen, if you will, would you, as you prepare to take your seats, would you please turn your cell phones? Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. As we prepare to start our meeting, would you please turn your cell phones to the silent position? Thank you so much. And we'll get, I've got 7:01, so we're a little late. At this point, we'll go ahead and bring our meeting to order. Ms. Ray, would you please call roll City Council?
Yes, sir. The Honorable Mayor Pro Tem Alex Heath.
Present.
The Honorable Linda J. Davis.
Present.
The Honorable Fannie Mae Hauser.
Present.
The Honorable Hattie Portis Jones.
Present.
And the Honorable Ulysses J. Smallwood.
Present.
Mayor, you have a quorum.
Thank you so much. Excuse me. At this time, if everyone that can, would you please stand for our invocation? Pastor.
Let us pray. Father, first of all, we thank you for your auspicious grace and tender mercies. Tonight, as mayor and council go forth into this meeting, we thank you for your leadership and guidance in all the decisions that have to be made for our fair city. We give your name the glory, the honor, and the praise that grace may be upon this meeting tonight. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
At this time, we will actually have a swearing in of a newly elected council member. Ms. Fannie Mae, members of council, would you join me up front and then Ms. Mae?
Okay.
All right, are you ready? If you would raise your hand, your right hand, and repeat after me. I, Fannie Mae Hauser, do solemnly swear or affirm that I will faithfully and truly perform the duties of council person of the city of Fairburn, and I will support and defend the United States Constitution, the Constitution of the State of Georgia, the Charter and the Codes of the City of Fairburn, to the best of my skill and ability, and as to me shall seem to be the best, of interest and welfare of the city, without fear, favor, or affection. I do further swear or affirm that I am not the holder of any unaccounted for public money, do this state or any political subdivision, do this state or any public subdivision or authority thereof, that I am not the holder of any office or trust under the government of the United States, any other state, or any foreign state, which by the laws of the state of Georgia, I am prohibited from holding, and that I am otherwise qualified to be a public officer according to the Constitution and laws of the state of Georgia. So help me God. Congratulations.
Good evening, everyone. I just want to say, first of all, to God be the glory. I want to say thank you for your vote. And I want to say that my best self is service. And I am grateful. I am honored. And I will do my best by you and by God. Thank you.
The next item is going to be a presentation of project management certification for utilities.
Good evening, Mayor and Council.
Good evening.
Thank you for the opportunity to come before you tonight. I would like to take this opportunity to give some credence to two of our employees that completed a course with the University of Georgia. This is an online course. It was the project management certification that is designed to start or advance your career by providing you with essential skills and knowledge to become a better leader. These employees had to take classes in the evenings after work, and in the nights they didn't have classes. They had to work on projects, and they also had to work on the weekends. So it was a lot of work. They have children and things of that nature that they had to maintain as long as their responsibilities during the day. So it was very grueling for them to complete it. They will be ready to tackle simple and complex projects from start to finish, on time and within budget, with this dynamic course, which was tailored for a wide range of professionals and skill levels. I believe that this class would be a great tool for our graduates that will greatly help them successfully work with the many tasks and projects that we perpetually face in the utilities department. I ask that you please give a round of applause to Shante Gillum-Drew and Chelsea Logan for their satisfactory completion of the UGA Project Manager Certification.
Said she was here because she's an Alabama diehard. I think so, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, can I entertain a motion to adopt our city council agenda?
So moved.
They're second.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? That motion carries. Ladies and gentlemen, 30 minutes shall be available for public comment. Each speaker shall speak. Be limited to 3 minutes. However, a speaker may transfer his or her 3 minutes to another speaker, but no speaker shall speak for more than 6 minutes. In this case, how many speakers we have?
We have four speakers, Mayor.
Four speakers. Okay, so we go to the 3 minute interval. Issues raised at this time are generally referred to the city administrator for review. Responses will be provided at a later date. Would you go ahead and call our first speaker?
The first speaker is Ernie Brooks.
Good evening, y'all.
Hey, sir.
Good evening.
I want to share a few things with you.
Some time ago, it's been several years, actually, I heard that the future is female. And gosh, you know, I heard right. And I'd like to congratulate the newly elected officers and the new mayor. And I know you're in it because you have a servant's heart. And I know competition was tough. And I'd like for you to perhaps think about reaching out towards your competitors, because they also have a servant's heart. They spent their own money to get in the race, even though they may have disagreed on some issues. If you could engage them, because some of them, we spent tax dollars and trained them up. They have a wealth of knowledge and experience, and you could use them as advocates for perhaps this new tax on landholders, or for maybe, you know, a number of issues. It'd be up to you to decide. But I did take the survey online about the courthouse, and I did participate on a gathering over there not too long ago. And I think that the courthouse, in the survey, there's a number of different interests on what to do with it. And I think that if we turned it into a little small bed and breakfast in the back and a big lobby, we could accommodate art, historical pictures or artifacts, and concerts, a small private concert. We could accommodate all the interests. And it sounds like this new tax might even be able to help with the cost. And it just, to me, it fits right along with you know, a place where walkability, local commerce, housing diversity, and cultural activity intersect to attract both residents and visitors. A little, you know, bed and breakfast. And parking's not a problem. We got plenty of parking over there by Landmark Christian, you know, and they could go to the new biscuit restaurant. But anyway, I'd like for you to think about getting some type of intergovernmental agreement with the city of South Fulton concerning the 188 acres on Spence Road, where they wanted to put up three big warehouses. I think the Atlanta Regional Commission is against that. They say it should be used for agriculture and residential. I can show that too if you like. But with that said, thank you so much for your time and this opportunity to vent a little bit. Thanks.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Next speaker.
The next speaker is Dr. Samantha Hudson.
Good evening, everyone. I am here to speak directly to you, my constituents, about the recent events. As your elected councilwoman, I want to be clear. Once my appeal was docketed, all attempts to remove me should have stopped until a judge finalizes the process. Under Georgia law, including OCGA 45-5-1, and to be even clear, the law states the decision of the officer or body to fill a vacancy or call an election to fill the vacancy shall be subject to an appeal to the Superior Court. And nothing in this subsection shall affect any right of any person to seek a judicial determination of eligibility of any person holding office in the state. Due process protections inform that an elected official cannot be lawfully removed until appeal is fully resolved. The mayor's attempt to push forward with an appointment is not just premature, but it's an executive overreach that disrespects both the state law, the U.S. Constitution, and the will of the voters. He does not unilaterally get to overthrow an election. This disenfranchises those of you who elected me to serve. I'm not here to litigate with this council tonight. I'm here to let the public know that I will remain your representative, and that any action taken to replace me before a judge has made a final decision is unlawful. I appreciate the support that you have shown me in this time and you understanding as we ensure that the law is respected and your voices are heard. I come in the volume of the book that is written of me, knowing that I stand on a sure foundation that no weapon formed against me or this city shall prosper. I understand that when the wicked are in authority, God's people mourn. But when the righteous are in authority, God's people rejoice. My prayer is that the righteous indignation be restored to every heart in this city, that we will move forward and beyond conflict, confusion, and disruption. My constituents, I will be steadfast and always unmovable and abounding in the word of the Lord.
Thank you for your coming.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Next speaker.
The next speaker is Blake Hayes.
Good evening.
Hey, sir. How you doing?
My name is Blake Hayes. Just to give a little background on myself, I'm from Peachtree City, south of here, but I'm very active in transportation advocacy, and I came here to speak about a problem that I have noticed. Unfortunately, the Georgia Department of Transportation has created this problem for you on State Route 74 at the Interstate 85 interchange, but the city of Fairburn is helping to enforce the mistake, and I'm hopeful that the city will consider and direct the police to act correctly under the law. In fairness to them, I did try to go by the police department to speak directly to them on Friday, but they were closed in the afternoon, so this was my next chance to try to speak on the issue. And I am absolutely certain that they are committed to professionalism and the rule of law, and this mistake is not happening out of malice or anything like that. So as you approach State Route 74 northbound at Interstate 85 exit, you're probably familiar, there's a total of three lanes. There's the leftmost lane that you would continue on if you wanted to turn left at the next light. There's the center lane, and there's a right lane that's controlled by a yield sign. Now, relatively recently, someone, I'm assuming GDOT, has painted through only on the ground, but that's all that they've placed there. There's no regulatory sign that says that that lane is through only or anything of that nature. Now, for traffic engineers, they're familiar with what's called the Manual on Uniform Traffic Control Devices, or MUTCD. This is the traffic engineer's guidebook. It regulates how you enforce traffic signs and things of that nature. It's the reason why you can't put a blue stop sign out there. The city of Fairburn can't say green means stop and red means go. The MUTCD is federal law, and it regulates how these go. So under the MUTCD, you're not allowed to just put paint on the ground, and it should be kind of obvious why. What do you do if there's a car sitting on top of that paint on the ground? Then you can't see that it's through only, and not everybody is from around here or has notice of that. That's why the MUTCD requires that you put a through-only sign above where it's always visible if you want to make a lane through-only. There's several standards in the MUTCD that go into this. I'm happy to provide the citations. I don't want to bore you. I'm sure you're not traffic engineers. You may not care about it. But the most important thing is two final points on that. The first thing is the existing sign that is there, not the missing through-only, but the one that is there, says right turn on red, right lane only. MUTCD says that you can only use that on multi-lane right lane approaches, and that should be obvious because why would you say right turn on red, right lane only if you can't even turn right from the other lane in the first place? You would just say, no right turn that lane at all. The second is that state law, OCGA 4620 subsection B, says that if the no provisions of this chapter, which is the state traffic rules of the road, shall be enforced against an alleged violator if at the time and place of the violation an official device was not in proper position and sufficiently legible to be seen.
I'm sorry, sir, your term is expired. Thank you so much. Next speaker.
The last speaker is Ms. Antavia Benson.
Good evening, Mayor.
Yes,
Mayor
ma'am.
Elect
good
and
evening.
Council.
Good evening.
Broken record, just coming to report that we have yet to hear from the individuals who are interested in the gas station development at 101 Durham Lake Parkway. Letters of concern are available for any Durham Lakes residents and for any City of Fairburn residents who are concerned of this issue. And so that's all I continue to say about that. So far, no change. finally, regarding the tour of cities that was just proposed in the work session, I do ask for everyone to possibly consider allowing those who have been newly elected on council to take part in that tour as well, so that there's always clarity and understanding moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you so much. Our next, in this case, members of council, we have before you approval of our minutes. The city council meeting that commenced on October 27, 2025. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made properly second. Any questions or comments? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? That motion carries. Next item.
Next item is a public hearing. This is for development impact fees, the first required public hearing. Staff is recommending Mayor and Council to hold the first public hearing regarding the proposed impact fee ordinance.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Hi, I am here with our amazing consultant that has got us through this process and to this step. It is one of the last remaining steps. So we have to host two public hearings. This is the first public hearing. It's required. Our consultant will give you an overview of the project. I know there were a couple of questions that were asked in the work session. So I think that the context of the ordinance does answer some of that. But I will turn it over to Paige so that she can give you an overview.
Thank you and good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
So just as an introduction to the public hearing, as Denise mentioned, some slides to provide some context as to where we are nearing the end of the development impact fee study that does include a draft development impact fee ordinance. The ordinance, inclusive of a potential fee schedule for impact fees, is a required component to establish an impact fee program. To date, we have had approval by the Georgia Department of Community Affairs of one of the other key components, which is a capital improvements element, or CIE, which upon adoption would act as an appendix to your comprehensive plan in accordance with the state guidelines. The CIE is your project-based document that delineates a 20-year list, if you will, of projects pertaining to public safety and parks and recreation that are needed to serve future growth and development. Those are then eligible for impact fee funding if the city adopts an impact fee program. So we've got that approval as required by the state guidelines. And now we're at the point of having, as Denise mentioned, the first required public hearing to consider the ordinance. The ordinance has been informed in part by Development Advisory Committee, which is also required by state law. The advisory committee has met three times. The point of the committee is to provide input, in particular on the fee schedule, which is a component, as I mentioned, of the ordinance. The ordinance and the CIE documents, those two pieces together would constitute an impact fee program. Both are required to be adopted to establish a program. The ordinance, which does have a fee schedule, but before that, there's about 25 pages of text, which has provisions that are intended to support the Georgia Development Impact Fee Act, so that's a state law, and its provisions include many standards for communities to adhere to as far as administering and maintaining an impact fee program. As mentioned, there is a potential fee schedule, a detailed two-page fee schedule of fees that could be charged that would be assessed for a variety of land uses. What would need to be part of the final the final ordinance would be an effective date. So that is to be determined. That would have to be added before the ordinance can be adopted, which would mean when the fees themselves would start being collected. As mentioned, there's about 25 pages of text in the ordinance, standard language that goes into a lot of detail about administering an impact fee program, and it does include mechanisms for reducing impact fees on a case-by-case basis. So
if the city adopts an impact fee program, regardless of whatever the fees are that would be adopted, application can be made on an individual basis by applicants wanting to or seeking a reduction in their assessed fee. There's a standard appeals process. There's something called individual assessments. If an applicant wants to make the claim that their fee that has been assessed is different than what they think the fee should be based on the demand for public services that relates to their proposed use. There are credit situations. If you have a developer that is requesting to donate land or to contribute something towards the implementation of one of the public projects that's been identified in the CIE, contributing something towards a trail project, for example, or a fire station. Those are impact fee eligible projects, and they should then, of course, receive a credit that would reduce the fee that they would have to otherwise pay. That would be achieved by a development agreement that would have to be approved by council. There's also, under state law, the potential to grant exemptions where council can consider exemptions. Either a partial exemption from a developer or applicant having to pay an impact fee or waiving the fee altogether. As we touched on at the previous work session, there are two types that are authorized by state law, one pertaining to development that creates extraordinary economic growth or development, and others that increase or create affordable housing. The ordinance currently just has sort of an enabling language that recognizes that these are potential exemptions that can be considered if council at a future date adopts specific review criteria by resolution that specifically defines what council perceives to be extraordinary economic development or growth, how council defines affordable housing, and then what criteria would be applied in order to review and make a determination as to whether an application satisfies those criteria, and then ultimately how much of the fee that could be waived. The important point with that, also by state law, it mandates that anything that is exempted in terms of impact fees under the exemption clause, anything approved has to be made up by other funds. So most commonly that is a transfer from the general fund to the impact fee fund. I think also just as there are many communities that do have exemption criteria in terms of economic development, very few pertaining to affordable housing. Atlanta, Savannah, and Sandy Springs are the only communities that currently actively entertain applications for exemptions for affordable housing. As to the fee schedule then, which comes at the end of the ordinance, fees are calculated on a per unit basis, and so that is for residences, that's per dwelling, and for most non-residential uses that would be by square foot. The fees are calculated at the time that building permits are issued. So a 50-home subdivision, then 50 times the amount per dwelling unit for impact fee, and that yields what the total fee that would be owed along with the building permit fees. And as you all know, fees can only be spent on projects identified in the CIE document. And so whatever is collected goes into, it would have to be an interest-bearing account for public safety and parks and recreation, public safety being police and fire. Whatever comes in collected for that has to be spent on those specific projects identified in the CIE. So coming back then to the fee schedule itself and what is in the draft ordinance, we did have a third and final advisory committee meeting, and they arrived at the suggestion that the fee per dwelling unit be $2,800. As mentioned, there are two pages of fees, though, or land uses, rather. We use the $2,800 as the basis to make a determination as to what would happen to all of the other land uses that are subject to an impact fee, because we can't just cherry pick and reduce from the maximum that was established to reduce the fee for homes. Every single land use has to benefit from reductions that, when we do the math, which I'll show in the next slide, end up at $2,800 per house. And so what that also equates to, as shown here in yellow, is fees for the parks and recreation were reduced by 51% from the maximum that could be charged, which is the last line, and public safety was reduced by 71%. Before the 3% administration fees that are included here, 3% is allowed under state law, what it looks like is $2,000 per home for parks and recreation and about a little over $700 for public safety that would be collected. Again, that's contrasted to the maximum that could be charged, which is a total of $6,700. A little bit over that total per dwelling unit. And so the recommendation that came from the advisory committee is looking at $2,800, and we wanted to show what surrounding communities who charge impact fees, what they are currently charging, what their adopted fees are, to show where the city's potential fee per dwelling unit, what if that looks like relative to other jurisdictions. Now, as far as all of the fees, this is, it may be a bit hard to read, but this is included in the ordinance, and this is based around the advisory committee's recommendation of $2,800 per single family home. And so the reductions, as you can see, the variety of land uses that relate to public safety. Parks and recreation, the users are residents, and so residents pay the parks and recreation fee. Everyone uses and benefits from public safety, so an impact fee applies to all land uses. So the reductions that we made to get the $2,800 filter down through all of public safety, as well as the base reductions to the residential units to get down to that $2,000 figure for parks and recreation. So then next steps. Tonight is the first of two required public hearings to consider the ordinance and fee schedule. The earliest that City Council could consider adopting the impact fee program would be after the second public hearing on the ordinance, which is scheduled for next month's meeting, December 8th. And I just wanted to point out here that in addition to having to insert an effective date prior to adoption, if council so chooses to adopt an impact fee program, we'd want to ensure that that was specified with the motion. But there can also be a phased approach that some communities apply to implementing impact fees. And the two examples are provided here. Savannah was a new community in 2023 and elected to phase in their fees over a three-year period. So if you happen to pull a building permit the first year, then the fees that were calculated were only 50% of the adopted fee schedule, and they're now up to 100%. Atlanta updated their fees in 2021, and at that time, they also chose, due to an increase in fees, they chose to have those phased in. Not everybody, every community does that, but I just wanted to share that in addition to saying, well, when are we going to start collecting, you also have some flexibility in determining how much you would want to collect based on whatever the adopted fee schedule is, whether it's all at once or more of a phased approach. So those are just some other recent models related to that point. And that is the conclusion of my presentation on the ordinance and its components and goals.
Okay, what I'm going to do then, at this time, I'm actually going to have open a public hearing. Then after the public hearing, we'll bring the item back. Members of council, can I entertain a motion to open a public hearing?
So moved.
There's a second.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. At this time, is there anyone here that wishes to speak in opposition of these fees? Anyone that wishes to come forward and speak in opposition? Seeing none, is there anyone that wishes to come and speak in support of these fees? You're here for support or opposition?
Support.
Okay, yes, sir. Come on, come on up, sir.
Thank you. You know, y'all make it really hard on us taxpayers because, you know, Miss Brookins, my hat's off to her. She does an excellent job, and so does Miss Abernathy. But, you know, there's a lot. There's a wealth of information. Y'all got staff to help you, and there's a lot of things to consider. I support the impact fee. However, I think the question was asked, where did you come up with this $2,800? You just pull it out of the air. And the young lady, she explained it very well. I couldn't see the slide. It was so tiny, I couldn't follow it. However, I still support it. But I just want to share with you that I do have some concern because now, you know, we got the special district for tax and land owners. And, you know, I think, you know, that gets passed on to the consumer. When you have an impact fee, you're building a house, $2,800, that's going to get passed on to the person who buys that house. We got a lot of subdivisions around here. And I'm not saying we don't need the money. I'm just saying that I have some concerns that, you know, thanks for hearing me. I know y'all got concerns, too. But thanks again for letting me voice my opinion in this sure. democratic process.
Is there anyone else wish to speak in support of this item? Yes, ma'am. Oh. Seeing none, can I entertain a motion to close the public hearing?
So moved.
There's a second.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? And motion carries. At this time, members of council are going to bring the item to the floor. You have before you a motion, excuse me, you have before you a development impact fees. Let me ask you a question. I just thought about something.
Mayor, you
in this
don't
case,
have
you don't take
a
vote because you have to take a okay. So at this point, we go to the next item.
Right. If you have a second here.
Yes, ma'am.
The next item is going to be an ordinance amendment to Section 62-365, Notice of Violation. This is a request for Mayor and Council to approve an ordinance to amend Part 2, Land Development and Related Regulations, Chapter 62, Buildings and Building Regulations, Article 9, Dangerous, Unsafe, or Unfit Buildings, Section 62-326, Notion of Violation to remove the 25-day notice requirement to align with state regulations, enhance enforcement efficiency, and strengthen public health and safety protections. Planning and zoning.
Hello again.
Hello. Oh.
The item before you is a request. We've been working hand-in-hand with the city attorney's office to look at how we can improve our operations as it relates to blight. Our city attorney did a very fantastic job of just going through all the regulations and seeing where there were opportunities to improve and expedite. Oftentimes, we have issues of blight where they've been going on for months, if not years. And once it gets before the city attorney, we've already sent out various notifications. We've alerted the city manager. Residents are complaining about it. They've seen that eyesore for a long period of time, and it's impacting the surrounding area. So we're simply trying to modify that to expedite the process. Just so that we're clear, though, in our own internal processes, there are several notifications that are already taking place, including door hangers, leaving official notices, sending out certified mail before any of it gets to the place where it is actually labeled a blighted property. So we try to give numerous opportunities for the property owners to come in and make those modifications. But when they don't, then in those instances, we are then recommending that we go in and utilize this legislation to be able to clean up the property. We've had some success with properties where, I think it was 94 Vickery, where the property owner on their own, after working with the city attorney's office, did the demolition. And so there are a number of other properties throughout the city. Some of them aren't on the major corridor, so you can't really tell, but the residents see them every day. And we do have a budget for blight now, so I'm very appreciative of that. And our code enforcement officers are also very appreciative of that because they've been working on a lot of these cases for quite a few months. So This is just to align with those state regulations and remove that 25-day notice period to increase operational efficiency. So blight is just one of those challenges that communities all across the U.S. Deal with every day. And we're just trying to make sure that we have a more efficient operational process.
Okay. Members of Council, you have before you an ordinance amendment to Section 62-326, notice of a violation. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Motion is by
second.
Motion is made by Ms. Jones, second by Ms. Davis. Any comments by Council?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Thank you, Ms. Brookins, for doing all of the background work that was needed to bring this forward. This is an issue we've been dealing with for quite a long time. Again, we've been trying to develop tools that we can use to continuously improve our city. And we've found that, you know, the blighted properties, not only do they look bad, but have become a safety issue in our community. And we just didn't have, you know, the right tools in place to really accelerate making an impact. So I am pleased that this has been brought before us. And I want to thank you for the work that you put in to bring this forward. I've seen this done in numerous other cities, and
I do want to give credit where credit's due.
Yes.
We had put a list together of all of our blighted properties and sent that to the city attorney's office. And so the recommendation to modify it was because of the analysis from the city attorney's office. So I do want to give them credit for doing that.
Oh, well, okay. well, that is absolutely awesome.
Yeah.
So actually, is it possible that we could get that list as well of the properties?
Absolutely.
Okay, that would be great. And so thank you for that. Again, another tool that we're trying to put in place to continue to improve the quality of life in our city. So thank you for that. And thank you, Mr. City Attorney.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, any other members of council have a question or concern? Okay, seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. At this point, I'll start with city council comments. I'll go with Mr. Smallwood. We'll start with you.
I don't have any comments this evening.
Okay, sir. Ms. Councilwoman Fannie Mae Hauser?
No comments, sir.
Okay, yes, ma'am. Mr. Alex Heath?
Yes, one thing that really impressed me, I just happened to be watching WSB TV the other night, and Fairburn came up on the news, and I just want to congratulate the Chief Pizzidlo and the police department for capturing two guys that had stolen TVs off of a boxcar here in Fairburn. And what really was great training is that I was the Chief's FTO, okay, many years ago. And because the... because they had mud on, the police officers had mud on their shoes, they were able to track down the two culprits that broke into the boxcar and stole the TVs, valued at $30,000, I believe is what they reported. And so my kudos go to you, sir. You have really stood up to the training that I gave you.
You mean kudos to
me,
Alex.
Oh, man, that is awesome.
That is awesome. Councilwoman had his point of joke.
Good, I got to give that to you.
Yes, just a couple of comments. First of all, congratulations to Ms. Chelsea Logan and Ms. Shante Gilliam for the work that they put in to become certified project managers. That is not an easy accomplishment at all. And I've known several people who have undertaken it and have not finished. So kudos to them for that. And a special welcome and congratulations to our colleague, Councilwoman Hauser, Ms. Fannie Mae Hauser. So welcome, and we look forward to continuing work, doing the work that we are wanting to do here in Fairburn. And just a shout out to all of the citizens of Fairburn who participated in the election process. We all have that right to engage we all have a civic duty to be engaged. Not all of us do that, but many of us did. And I want to thank those who did. And over the election, the early voting period ending in Election Day. And thank you to all of those who supported me in my win as mayor-elect. But I am the mayor for the city of Fairburn, and that includes every single resident, whether you voted for me or not. So thank you.
Councilwoman Davis.
Yes, Mayor. I was not going to have any comments, but I've got to thank you, Heath, for bringing that up. I actually watched that on TV, too. I did not know that was our Fairburn police.
Oh, man, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. And the mud thing, that was really interesting. Was. Kudos, Chief. And I also want to welcome Ms. Fannie Hauser, as a member of the council. I welcome you here. We're excited to have you here, and congratulations on your win.
Yes.
Okay. And again, my comments in this case, again, is to, again, Ms. Fannie Mae Hauser, congratulations, and to all of our elected leaders that were successful. I want to congratulate a mayor-elect again. Thank you so much for just being such a great friend during my tenure. And so you'll see you're going to need friends in this business internally and externally. And so, but again, I want to thank you because you've done a great job. But I want to also commend Mr. Smallwood as coming back.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And, of course, Ms. Benson is in the room. And I think there's two other. If you can go ahead, please give her a hand. So I'm just excited about what I believe the message that the city of Fairburn residents sent them, and that is we're to operate as a unit. We're to operate in unity. That doesn't mean you always agree, but must learn how to disagree without being disagreeable. And so I think
yes.
And this is my next to last meeting, but for those that are listening, let me thank the staff. Both the day-to-day operation, our city attorney, the municipal judge, the one that's here, this has been a successful run greater than I ever could have imagined. And I want to thank every elected and appointed official, both that are currently in office and the ones that are actually previously elected during my tenure. Again, it's been a major, major ride, been a success greater than I ever could have comprehended. So just want to say again, I don't take that for granted because of all the different cities and the mayors, one of the things that was talked about to me by many of our mayors is they are blown away with the level of professionalism and the impact that our staff have had in every capacity. So no man is an island. And so in this case, I'm excited about that. So with that being said, we have an executive session for litigation. Members of council, can I entertain a motion to go into executive session for litigation?
So moved.
Second.
Motion's made. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Have a good night.
Thank you.
council. Can I entertain a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Motion. All motion is made and properly seconded by Ms. Davis. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great day.
All right.
Amen.
Had a good game tonight.
Yeah.